To bring us to the Lord's table this morning, we've been taking as our theme, both last week and this week, the words, at the feet of Jesus. And we're particularly looking at Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. Because every time Mary is mentioned in the Bible, we find her at the feet of Jesus. The three times she's named, there she is, at his feet. As we thought last week, while Martha was busying herself with other things, Mary chose the better portion. She found a place of stillness, a place of stillness at Jesus' feet. And we were challenged last week about our priorities and making sure that over and above everything else, that we have the one thing that's necessary, Jesus himself. And so having been taught by Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, we want to think this morning about Mary falling at Jesus' feet. Life's like that, isn't it? While we might be sitting peacefully today, we might be floored tomorrow in a time of trouble or a time of trial. And either way, whether sitting or falling, there's no better place to be than the feet of Jesus. And so we read this morning in John 11, verse 32, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. What we have here is a deeply instructive and a moving insight, actually, into the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the sort of scene that ought to bring us to our knees, that we might fall at his feet also. So three very simple headings this morning to guide us through this text. Firstly, a desperate situation. A desperate situation. This is, after all, the reason for Mary falling at Jesus' feet. She's in a desperate situation. Her brother Lazarus has just died. We're told in the very first verse of the chapter that he was ill. He had been ill. He'd sick. He was diseased. And it wasn't long before his two sisters, they send for Jesus. But Jesus doesn't come straight away. In fact, he delays his coming. He purposefully holds off. He doesn't come to Bethany until Lazarus has been 4 days in the tomb. He's already died and been buried. Now, Jesus wasn't caught out by this. No doubt, in his perfect wisdom and knowledge, he knew exactly what was going on. As he says to his disciples in verse 11, we didn't read it, but he says in verse 11, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. You know, he knew exactly the moment that Lazarus breathed his last. But he still delayed his coming. And 4 days pass until he arrives. Meanwhile, everyone else has turned up. Did you notice that? Everyone else, there's lots of people have gathered at this house. In that culture, when someone died, everyone just showed up at the house. It kind of happens in some places still today. Family, friends, neighbors, even strangers, they all just pile in. Everybody shows up. And you know, these visitors, they're going to be important, aren't they? They're going to be important. They're all going to be eyewitnesses of the tremendous miracle Jesus is going to perform. But of course, they don't know that at all. They're there to console Mary and Martha. It's the custom of the day, the tradition. Someone died, everyone was notified. They would all come to the house, and very quickly the burial took place, and there was a procession to wherever they would place the body, not necessarily in a hole in the ground. We're told, verse 38, it was a tomb, a cave that had a stone rolled against it, rather like what Jesus would himself be placed into. And so it's very likely that they placed Lazarus on some kind of a shelf in one of these caves that would have been all round the Mediterranean. He was placed there And the procession would have gone there, placed Lazarus, returned to the house, and they would have stayed there 7 days. And that's how long this part of the funeral lasted. 7 days, everyone stayed in this house. Now, don't think they were just sadly looking at each other. No, in this culture, in this custom, they didn't hold anything back. What they did was they wailed out loud, and they mourned in a very vivid, graphic way. And it was the woman who led this. And it was a kind of a screaming, a wailing situation. And they saw this as a comfort thing because of the sympathy that was behind it. And for 7 days, you would have had this wailing going on. And all of that's to say, Jesus comes right in the middle of this. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. They're in the middle of this week of loud wailing. Martha hears Jesus is close by. She goes off to meet him. Notice Mary remains seated. Verse 20, Martha went and met Jesus, but Mary remains seated in the house. Mary stays back at this point. I don't think it's idleness that makes Mary stay back. I think rather she's just so full of melancholy. I think she's so brokenhearted and sad and in deep sorrow. It could be Mary hasn't realized Jesus is nearby. It could be that she doesn't find out until Martha comes back. Verse 28, Martha returns and calls Mary. It seems that Mary is just so caught up in the loss of her brother. Aren't there situations in life that do that to us? An unexpected setback that comes along and it just floors us completely. Something maybe that you thought God would make right. And it isn't made right in your eyes. In Mary's case, losing someone who was so very close to her. That's the situation we find her in. A desperate situation. Some of our situations this morning aren't great either, are they? In some cases, there is a deep-seated grief, a sense of loss. Maybe this morning you can relate so very closely to Mary. I think for a lot of us, our situation may not be a bereavement, but some other form of loss, perhaps. A loss of health, a loss of independence, a loss of memory, a loss of a relationship somewhere, the loss of a job, the loss of our joy. Do we not all have times when all we want to do is remain seated in the house, just like Mary? A desperate situation. Let's see then, secondly, a needy sinner. A needy sinner. Martha has already gone off. She goes off by herself to Jesus. She's a bit forthright, Martha. She challenges Jesus about not coming earlier. And even when Jesus says as plain as day, Lazarus, he's going to rise again, Martha. He's going to rise again. Martha doesn't get it. And she's thinking of the last day. And she decides she needs to go back and get Mary. So we're told, verse 28, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And together they rush off to where Jesus is waiting. Notice again, everybody follows. An important point, verse 31, everyone follows. They think Mary's visiting the grave. They're going to be eyewitnesses again to what's going to happen. Look at what Mary does next. Verse 32. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. Jesus was there. He was calling for Mary, we're told. But Mary had to get up and she had to go to him. She had to get up and go to Jesus. As good as her consoling friends were, they were no substitute for Jesus. She had to get up and go to Jesus. He was there. He was calling to her. He was available in her time of need. But she had to get up and go. And friends, do we not need to remember the same ourselves? Whatever your situation is this morning, Jesus is there. And he's available to you. And you could say he's calling to you. And even though you may not feel it, he's always there, always available to give grace. If we would just go to him, if we would just go to him in our trials. And notice Mary goes immediately. The moment she hears Jesus is there, off she goes. She doesn't delay. She doesn't hesitate. And she goes exactly as she is. She doesn't say, "Oh, dear, dear, Martha, I've been crying for 4 days. I look like such a mess. I can't go to Jesus like this." Don't we often do something like that with the Lord? We're in the midst of a trial, and we sometimes think, "Well, I can't go to the Lord until I get myself more together. I need to wait till I'm a bit calmer. I'm in more control of myself and my emotions. I can't come to the place of grace until I've got myself a bit more together." But friends, grace is for people who don't have it all together. Grace is for the undeserving, not the deserving. Go to Jesus just as you are. After all, that's how someone comes to Jesus for the very first time for salvation, isn't it? You come as you are. You don't try and clean up your life to make yourself more presentable. You come as you are, just as the old hymn goes, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am." Have you come to the feet of Jesus yet, friend? You're in a desperate, desperate situation. You're sinking in the mess of confusion and misery. And you should know Jesus is there and he's available to you. He's calling to you. If you would only get up and go. If you'd only realize that all the friends in the world can't compare to the friend of sinners. And brothers and sisters this morning, as we come to the Lord's table, we're to come like Mary here. We come as broken sinners. We come as people in the midst of trouble and trials. We come and we're weighed down by the weights of sin and sorrow in life. But look at Mary. We come to the feet of Jesus just as we are. Just as we are. We don't have to clean ourselves up. We don't have to have all our problems sorted out. We come, you could say, warts and all. Even if we've messed up big time. Even if we've fallen into terrible sin. The way is still open to the feet of Jesus. And needy sinners can draw near to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in their time of need. A needy sinner. So we've had the desperate situation and the needy sinner. Thirdly, the caring Savior. The caring Savior. And this is just wonderful, the response of Jesus here. When she's at the feet of Jesus, Mary, she doesn't hold back herself. Verse 33 tells us she's weeping. The word there is a strong weeping, a wailing, means to sob. And not only Mary, but all the people who have come with her, they're weeping the same way. It's quite the scene. Mary at his feet, the crowd all around, and they're all crying. They're all wailing. How's Jesus going to respond to this? When Mary speaks her mind in verse 32, same as Martha, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." What's Jesus going to say to that? Well, he says nothing to her. Not at first, anyway. Look at the text, verse 33. "When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled." He was deeply moved. It's a very interesting phrase, deeply moved. It comes from a word that can mean emotional. It can mean groaning. It speaks of inner pain and turmoil. It's a word that encaptures all sorts of feelings here, deeply moved. In this word, there's sorrow and there's sadness. There's even anger. There's suffering here. Every emotion, it seems, is gripping Jesus, his whole inner person. In other words, he feels what Mary feels. He lets himself feel everything here. He's sad because he's lost his friend. Yes, he loved Lazarus. It says that back in verse 3. "He whom you love is ill." He loved Lazarus for sure. Jesus lost a friend here. But he's sad too because he loves Mary and Martha. There's no question that he loves them as well. Verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And he feels their pain. He asks, "Where have you laid him? Where's the burial place?" The crowd respond, "Lord, come and see." Now we come to verse 35. It's the shortest verse in the whole Bible. Just two words. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. We have a different word now for weeping. These aren't the tears of the mourners who had gathered for the 7 days. The sustained kind of sobbing tears. This is more a sudden outburst into open tears. He can't hold it in. This is the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, as Isaiah says, and he can't contain it. They're not sentimental tears. These aren't professional tears. This is a pouring out of his true emotions. The people around say, "See how he loved him." In other words, his tears were different from everyone else's. It stood out, his grief. And friends, these tears of Jesus, they should say so much to us. After all, Jesus knew perfectly well what was going to happen next. He knew what he was about to do, that Lazarus would be raised. He knew in maybe a matter of minutes, Lazarus would be back to life. He knew all that, and yet still he weeps. He weeps. Let me mention just two things we can take from this shortest of all the verses. In a desperate situation, tears are okay. That's the first thing. Tears are okay. There's nothing weak or soft or feeble about tears. If anything, it's a Christ-like thing to sorrow and grieve. And it's a Christ-like thing to weep with those who weep. Now, there's nothing unworthy about a child of God in tears over their grief. Even the Son of God himself wept. I think that's an important thing to be said. A lot of Christians think, with the Christian hope we have, that maybe we shouldn't grieve as much. But we need not be ashamed of expressing great depth of feeling. It's not a sign of weakness. It's not a sign of unspirituality. How do we know? This little verse. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And I wonder, just to be cold or to be unmoved in a time of sorrow, it's not necessarily a sign of strength. It's not necessarily a sign of grace. Blessed are those who mourn, the scripture says, for they shall be comforted. So in a desperate situation, tears are okay. That's the first thing. But also, in a desperate situation, Jesus cares. Jesus cares. As we said, surely the reason for his tears, it's deeper than his own grief. He does have his own grief here, but surely it goes deeper than that. And surely it goes deeper than just saying tears are okay. Surely there's more than that here. Can we not see Jesus weeping out of a genuine care and sympathy for Mary and Martha? He weeps because they weep. And he grieves because they grieve. And his heart is heavy because their heart is heavy. And isn't the same still true today? The Bible tells us Jesus Christ, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And though he's now in heaven, his heart is the same today as it was then. And the Jesus that's available to us in the gospel today is the very same Jesus that wept with Mary and Martha. So let me assure you from the word of God this morning that Jesus is a Savior who is so very tender and gracious. He knows our frame. He knows that we're dust. And he knows the things that break our hearts. And he not only knows, but he cares about it. He cares. He's not standing far off today, aloof, unfeeling, careless. He's not indifferent to your pain and your heartache. He cares. This is something Hudson Taylor came to realize. Hudson Taylor, a great missionary to China in the 1800s, he married at the age of 26. And after just 12 years of marriage, his wife, Maria, became ill and died. And it was a tragic, heartbreaking loss for Hudson Taylor. And he wrote at that time a letter when he said this: "No language can express what Christ has been and is to me. Never does he leave me. Continually he cheers me with his love. He who once wept at the grave of Lazarus often now weeps in me and with me." Isn't that good? He who once wept at the grave of Lazarus often now weeps in and with me. We have a Savior who sympathizes with all our sorrows. He mingles his tears with our tears. How do we know? This little verse. Jesus wept. Hebrews 4:15. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. When we turn to him, when we're like Mary, and when we come and fall at his feet, and when we pour out ourselves before him, he knows and he cares and he's pity upon us. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. I'm sure you've all received sympathy cards at one time or another. People expressing their personal sympathy at your loss. This shortest verse in the whole Bible, it's like Christ's sympathy card. And all the human sympathy in the world falls short of his sympathy. But where do we find the sympathy of Jesus? It's here at his feet. So let's come to those feet with all our troubles, with all our perplexities. Let's come each one to this place of sympathy this morning, like Mary, just as we are, and cast ourselves at the feet of Jesus. Amen.